This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, new Leitrim senior football manager Stephen Poacher gives us his blueprint for the team in 2025. Sean Carroll on the financial challenges ahead for Sligo GAA. Our Draz Mary Kelly on the rise of Donegal's women in the GAA. And on the eve of the PDC World Darts Championships at the Ali Pally, Belcoo's Brendan Dolan, a quarter finalist last year, joins us to assess his chances. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. If you'd like to get in touch, it's 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address, and you'll get us on Twitter right now at Ocean FM Sport. So we begin with Leitrim's new senior football manager, Stephen Poacher, who took over the job at the end of October after Mickey Graham stepped down, just 2 months after succeeding Andy Moran in the role. Now, at the time, Graham said he vacated the managerial position because of circumstances beyond his control. He then joined Padraig Joyce's backroom team in Galway. So who is Stephen Poacher? Well, he's a native of Down, who's been involved with coaching for many years up north and with Mourne County teams from under 16 up to under 21. He's had inter-county experience too, part of management teams in Carlow and Roscommon. Today he spoke to Ocean FM Sport about his plans for Leitrim and about what attracted him to the job in the first place.
I have a huge passion for Gaelic football and coaching, and I've been coaching now for 15 years, and I've obviously been coaching in my own county at every level, and you know, stints in Roscommon, stints in Carlow, stint in Fermanagh as well, with hurling as well, actually. For half a season. But for me, obviously, I've been managing club level as well for 15 years, but it's something obviously I've always wanted to do. And you know, it's managing at the county level, especially having coached it, because I do feel that, you know, I know it's they're completely different hats. The coaching and managing are different hats, but you know, it allows you to put your own background team together. You're not getting into a setup that maybe, you know, has been manufactured. You're actually putting your own background team together. You're putting your own stamp on things. You're maybe trying to develop something or create an identity with something, and you know, for me, obviously the Leitrim thing came out of the blue. Isn't such, I didn't expect it to really to come. And I had a phone call from someone who was asking me would it be something that I might have been interested in. So I said, yes, it would. And I'd actually been a Leitrim about 5 or 6 years ago, and I did a coach education block with their development squad coach at the time. A lot of really good people down there, like Martin McGowan and the Lions, Sean Gallagher at the time. Those guys were heavily involved, and they obviously had known me at that stage, and you know, haven't seen their centre of excellence, and there were a lot of pieces of jigsaw in place. You know, they're doing an awful lot of brilliant work at underage level, brilliant work, and there've been a couple of really good underage teams have come through the last few years, particularly the under-20s last year. A lot of those lads will backbone the senior team this year, and then obviously you have the under-16s won the Fáil Manning Cup for the first time in a long, long time last year. And you know, there's a lot of real good positive work going on in the county. You know, and they have a lot of pieces of jigsaw in place, as I said, you know, the centre of excellence, good facilities. You know, you're training, you know, it's a small county, and the people are football mad. You know, they really are football mad, and there's a lot of really good people that are trying to drive this forward. And obviously, you know, when I got chatting to the county board at the time, I liked what they were saying, and in the point of view being that, you know, it wasn't just a short term fix thing where you're trying to go in and win a Connacht title straight away or win a Division 3 or whatever. You know, it's a rebuilding job, it's a development job, it's a job to bring young lads through. And it's something, probably having been a teacher for 22 years, it's something I've prided myself on, Austin, in the past, is developing and growing young players, you know, and that's something that I really enjoy doing, and hopefully, please God, and continue that great work with Leitrim, you know.
Just before we get into Leitrim in a bit more detail, you've always struck me as a thinker of Gaelic games, an innovator. I can remember years and years ago, Stephen Poacher coaching clinics taking place in Kilkeel and other parts of Down, and there were, you know, things that attracted young coaches looking to learn and aspire to change. How would you describe your own management style?
Yeah, well, look, going back to what you, your first point there about the coaching, Lennox, look, I started a coach education fundraiser in school in 2009, and last year it became the largest coaching event in Ireland, 15 years in the making. Like, you know, and I was inspired by a former Leitrim manager, actually, would you believe it or not, John, the great John Morrison, the late great John Morrison. John was a very, very good friend of mine. Paddy, his son is now our goalkeeping coach at Leitrim as well, which is brilliant, because Paddy obviously has got emotional connection to the county, having his father having been there before in 09, 2010, and you know, Paddy's a great guy as well. But listen, I remember going to watch John coaching in 2007, 2008, like I was a coach education even in Armagh, and at that stage our school had just won a vocational school's A title, smallest school in Ireland ever to win one, like, and I was getting a real bug for coaching at the time, and I was only probably about 28 at the time, and just wasn't really enjoying the playing at that stage. Like, the club weren't really going well. I had a real passionate bug for coaching 28, 29 at that stage. So I actually ended up taking my first coaching job in Unraked, which was Marty Clark's club. Marty probably would have worked with Marty in the past, the BBC, good fella, like, but I had taken up the job with Unraked for 3 seasons, you know, as a very young manager, 29. So, you know, obviously 15 years now in coaching, and I suppose your management style has changed slightly. Like, my personality probably hasn't changed, like, but you know, my coaching philosophy still probably remains the same, Austin, and that, you know, you like to create a spirit and togetherness within a group. You know, you like to make your training sessions very relevant to how you were going to play, and obviously hopefully the environment that you create is enjoyable and fun. And you know, I used to take the quotes from John, and that, you know, players don't really care what you know until they know that you care, and you certainly like to put a lot of emotional energy and a lot of time into the players as a group. I like to get to know the players as people rather than just players, Austin. I think that's something that I pride myself on in the past, is having that, you know, real effective personality to get the best out of people. And you know, it's probably a trait that's in a lot of teachers as well. You come in, you're trying to motivate students, and same way you're trying to motivate players in the changing room, you know. So for me, it's a big part of coaching and managing is that person, the personality you bring to it, you know.
And to do that, you're surrounding yourself with a couple of well-known Ulstermen. Donegal listeners here will be familiar with Ballyshannon's Anthony McGrath, who's part of your backroom team. Fermanagh's Ryan Jones in there as well. And your time with Carlow, a time when Carlow won promotion from Division 4 and reached the Leinster semi-final. Yeah. You've brought a former player with you to Leitrim as well.
Yeah, big St. Ledger. Look, Daniel's a great fella. He managed St. Sylvester's for 4 years there, and I would call him a Southern Nordie, you know. He's got all the traits of an Ultraman, like, so he might as well be an Ultraman, you know. But he's a good fella, Daniel. A real good man. He's a real good man. When he played football in Austin, Daniel thought about the game in an analytical way that most players wouldn't. And, you know, I could see very clearly when I was coaching him that he was going to be a brilliant coach. You could see very clearly. Because he thought about the game. He thought about the game deeply. You know, he placed a lot of emphasis on really understanding what our game plan was, what we were trying to do, why we were doing it, you know, and Daniel has obviously brought that from his playing career. He's coached his own club to an intermediate final, obviously, in Carlow, which was a brilliant achievement because they're a very, very small rural club. And then obviously he took Sylvester's from Division 2 in Dublin to 1A and has made them competitive against the likes of the Kilmacuds and the Coolers of this world. Like, you know, so he's done a remarkable job at Sylvester's there for 3 seasons. And Daniel's a great fella, and just having people around you that you know very well. Ryan was the under 20 coach in Leitrim last year. He's a great connection. He's also coaching and managing in Leitrim at the minute with Leitrim Gaels in Division 1. So, you know, Ryan understands you know, a lot about the dynamics of Leitrim club football as well, and he's got a chemist down there as well. So his ear to the ground when it comes to all things Leitrim, and obviously a former captain of Fermanagh as well, brings great leadership qualities. And then Anthony as well, you know, Anthony's a top guy. Anthony's experience that Anthony's had having coached and been in a sports performance capacity with Donegal at every level, having played with Donegal, you know, and great man, great personality, great guy. And you know, we have a great managing team as such, I would say, you know, as good as it could be, to be honest with you, you know. And then obviously Paddy Morrison joined us as well, you know, as goalkeeping coach. So yeah, it's been brilliant and it's been really enjoyable. It's been a really enjoyable few weeks, just even just the managing team getting the gel and getting to work with a group of young players.
What does Stephen Poacher make of the new football rules which come into effect from the 1st of January? Are you excited about them, or have you torn up your old tactics notebook and said to yourself, I'm going to have to start all over again here?
Yeah, well, I think with any group, you have to start all over again, Austin. I think with any group, you know, when you've got a group of players, you have to look at what you have, and, you know, the players have to fit the system, rather than the system fitting the players rather than the players fitting the system. You know, you have to you have to look at your strengths and what you have, and if you get six good forwards, you know, there's no point in playing three of them behind the ball, you know. So, like, you know, you have to look at the players in your disposal and look at what you have and move from there. And obviously, we're still getting to know the group. It's a very young group. It's a very young Leitrim group. The new rules are really the same for everyone. I'm not convinced about them, I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen a couple of games so far and a couple of trial games, and, you know, there's a lot of stop-starting, there's a lot of whistleblowing, there's a lot of freeze, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of technicalities of the rules. I've chatted a couple of independent referees at the minute who are just saying that they don't think it's going to be viable, they don't think it's going to be sustainable to referee them. You know, there was no call for rule changes now when Dublin were beating teams by 20 points in Leinster and winning all Ireland's at a canter, you know, so Jim wasn't calling for too many rule changes then, you know, but the first year that Ulster had a clean sweep, all of a sudden they've got a whole sort of change of rules. Like, so I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, like, but I'm saying that quite tongue-in-cheek, like, but it is something that obviously is going to change the game dramatically. And I think they've made far too many changes at once, Austin. But it is what it is. We have to get on with it. You know, I thought one simple change, banning the back pass to the goalkeeper, would have really encouraged teams to press. It would have encouraged teams to get after the goalkeeper, or sorry, get after the team a bit more on kickouts. You know, it would have stopped probably the long bouts of possession, because therefore, you know, you could have pushed up on a team, you could have been man to man, you could have been aggressive, knowing that the out ball wasn't there to the goalkeeper. That was a very simplistic rule to bring in, and you know, they could have done that to start with and seen if it had changed anything. But they bring such a wrath of rules in, and then I'm hearing today, now even as early as today, that there's been a discrepancy over one of the rules that has been worded poorly or something like that. You know, so listen, it's going to be difficult. I think the biggest people in this that I feel sorry for are the referees, because some of our referees are have it tough as it is. Like, and with this band of new rules now, it's going to be close to impossible to referee in the game. But look, as everyone, I don't think you can get too bogged down at Austin. The same key principles still apply. You have to defend, you have to attack. And you know, you have to have your basic skills and you have to have a good conditioning level. So look, it's going to be interesting to see how they unfold, and probably the team that maybe adapts them the quickest is maybe the team that will make a few games early in the National League, you know.
I'm just looking at Leitrim's Division 3 league fixtures here, Stephen. You'll have four matches at home and three away. Would you have liked to have had a Connacht FBD competition to help tune things up and bet in those new rules?
100%. Listen, look, for us as a management team, to get to know the boys, to get to see the boys playing, like, it's okay training and that, but you know, you can't beat football matches, you can't beat games, and the players love games, awesome. You know, players love games as well, and you know, that's something, obviously, you know, that we would have encouraged to say. But look, the National League, it's going to be competitive, it's going to be tough. We've four games that are going to be played in Ballinamore. Park Sean is closed until their Connacht semi-final against Mayo or Sligo. But look, we're going to give it a real good go. It'll probably be technically the youngest Leitrim team ever taken the field in a National League game, I'd say. You know, we're going to be a very, very young side. It's a very young squad. We're delighted with the players that have committed now at this stage, and you know what we have is we're moving forward with it, and it's an exciting time for Leitrim, because look, at the end of the day, you know, it's about progress, it's about development, and that takes time, you know, it'll not be just done overnight, and you know, Division 3 will be tough, but it'll also help the younger players as well, because they'll be playing at a higher quality of opposition, they'll be playing at a higher standard, they'll be coming up against teams who are maybe a bit more tactically switched on than teams have played in the past. So look, listen, it's challenging, and it will be tough, but it will be thoroughly enjoyable, and we'll make sure that the environment the players are in will be as enjoyable as possible for them, you know.
And finally, what would be your message to fans to have patience with this new Leitrim team and new Leitrim management?
Absolutely. Listen, get behind the young lads and give it, and listen, give them the best support they can get, because at the end of the day, these young lads need, you know, they need people supporting them, they need people getting behind them, because Leitrim have a very, very bright future ahead of them. If we can bring six or seven of these boys through from the under-20s, it's a very exciting time for Leitrim, because at the end of the day, you know, the game is all about legs, it's all about energy, it's all about pace, and there's some lads come out of this under-20 setup, they're great, great lads, you know, and you know, as I say, some of our older players now in the squad are probably 25, 26, like, so it's going to be a very young group, and they need confidence, you know, they need time, and listen, one thing's for sure is that, you know, we will give it everything we can, and we'll give it our best shot, and hopefully, please God, we can pick up some really good days and some really good performances and make some memories that hopefully Leitrim people will carry with them for a long time.
That's new Leitrim senior football manager Stephen Poacher. Leitrim's Allianz Football League Division 3 campaign begins on Saturday the 25th of January at home to Laois in Ballinamore. Leitrim have four home games. The others are against Kildare, Offaly and Fermanagh. The three away matches are in Clare, Antrim and Markovic Park when they play Sligo on the last round of the league on the 23rd of March. Sligo GAA's end-of-year accounts are going to show a small surplus for the 2024 financial year, but County Chairman Sean Carroll has signalled there are significant financial challenges ahead for the county. Wednesday night's annual convention at the Clayton Hotel saw Richard Brennan elected as the new Central Council delegate, succeeding the outgoing Joe Taff. Pádraig Clancy and Ronan Higgins were elected as Connacht Council delegates. Bernadine McGorn is the new Culture and Irish Language Officer. Pather Nyland moves to the role of Planning and Training Officer, having completed his five-year term as Coaching Officer. The post of Coaching Officer and Chair of the Sligo CCC will be filled in January. Outgoing CCC Chair Tubbercurry's Dermot Gannon is going to be the new Treasurer of the Connacht Council starting in January. Here is County Board Chairman Sean Carroll then with his reflections on Sligo in 2024.
While we probably didn't have the inter-county success in terms of winning trophies, I think it was clear to see, especially at senior level, the team is developing and evolving. We're very, very close to what would have been historic wins. So continued progress. We do still also have the challenges, a lot of the challenges that remain for us in terms of the financial area. We also have to finalise our strategic plan, which we haven't done yet, but which will get done, absolutely will get done next year.
Well, if I can take you to the finances, I know people often look at that to see how the county is doing. Cormac Cairns presented a pretty detailed financial report on Wednesday night in the Clayton Hotel. What are the standout challenges as you see them?
Yeah, well, I guess the report was encouraging in many ways. We had expected that we would make a loss this year when we actually made a small cash profit. There were a number of contributing factors to that. We got additional support from Croke Park, which was very, very welcome, which we applied for. This is a move by Croke Park to try and support smaller counties, and it was very, very worthwhile for us. But overall, we still carry some legacy debt that we have to address, and we have to do more in our own fundraising and sponsorship efforts. Sponsorship has improved, our fundraising improved slightly as well, but we need to make more inroads there, and I think we'll have to have a refocus on a revamped Club Sligo for next year and try and maximise the money we can generate ourselves.
And when you say broaden it out, do you mean in terms of getting more subscribers or coming up with a new model?
I think a bit of both. I think we do need to revamp the model. I think it's probably been there for a while and it might be gone stale in people's minds, and we'll try and revamp it. But we do need additional support. Some parts of the county are absolutely fantastic, huge support, but there are some areas that we can do better in. So there'll be a small team that will look at that, and we'll try and revamp it and get it going for the new year. We have a budgeted figure of what we think Club Sligo needs to be delivered, and we're falling a bit short of that at this point in time. But we think it's achievable to get up to that level. And just also, we in terms of the legacy debt that I referred to there, we will be looking at a major fundraiser, sort of a one-off event, to try and make inroads into that legacy debt, and also have, some funding available to support further capital projects. We've done a lot in the last couple of years, but it's very difficult to expect to get the vast majority of funding for all projects. You need to put in a wee bit yourself as well. So that's they're the plans on the fundraising side.
You're moving into your fifth and final year now as chair. What are going to be the priorities for you in 2025?
Well, we've talked about the financial area to make sure that we're on a real sound financial footing by trying to clear that legacy debt and get ourselves into a sustainable year-on-year profit. Hopefully, we have done a really good job. I think I should mention on managing the team expenses over the last couple of years. They're at a fairly steady level, and it's pretty modest compared to most counties, so I think as a county board we've been very vigilant on that and very fair, and I don't think our teams are suffering in any way by not receiving the funding that other counties receive. So it's an area the GAA really has to address, because there's outrageous money being spent on teams up and down the country. So on the financial end, yeah, I've also mentioned the strategic plan. There are a lot of good discussions at committee levels, but we need to solidify that into a plan, into our North Star for the next 5 years to pin our colours to the mast and say this is where Sligo GAA is going, and get everybody united behind it to drive it further forward. So there are a couple of key areas that I'll be focusing on in 2025.
The new football rules, Sean, come into effect from the 1st of January. I know you were one of the people at Special Congress recently who voiced what many would argue were legitimate concerns about the implementation of the rules. But they are here now, and that's the way you'll be looking at things in the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. The discussion is over. The votes have been taken. So we all move forward together with these new rules in place. There's obviously a huge appetite out there for change in Gaelic football, and that has to be acknowledged. There are going to be challenges, there's no doubt about it, but I would just urge people to try and work together, be respectful and calm at matches, and try and understand what's going on. We'll try and work through it together, and hopefully I'll be quite happy if I'm wrong, and that the game evolves into something even better than what we have.
And a word to finish on your home club, Killara Strandhill, who've had a pretty special 2024, and who knows, it might develop into a pretty decent 2025 as well. But having a Sligo team, whether it's your own club or any Sligo club, Sean, in the last four of the All-Ireland Senior Club Football Championship, that's got to be a fillip for the county, no matter what the era.
Yeah, well, look, firstly, with my county hat on, it's long overdue. I think that Sligo club football really should have been in a position to win these titles a lot sooner. But look, clearly it's a fantastic position, and I agree. I don't see why it needs to stop here. It's been brilliant for the lads. Also, look, and it has to be said the success of our ladies team as well. I think it's been brilliant that the two have had such success side by side, and they've kind of helped each other along nearly. It's just been as a Clare Strandhill person, it's just been an amazing few weeks and months, and obviously we hope it continues. But on the bigger question, I think the standard in club football in Sligo is really, really improving. All our teams are really competitive in the provincial championships this year. I think that augurs well for the future.
Sligo GAA Chairman Sean Carl, and for the record, Killara Strandhill's All-Ireland Senior Club Football semi-final against the Dublin and Leinster champions Coolá will be played on Sunday the 5th of January in Kingspan, Breffni and Cavan. The throw-in time will be 1:30. When we come back, our Draz Mary Kelly on the rise of women in Donegal GAA, plus the World Darts Championships return to the Ali Pally this weekend. Belcoo's Brendan Dolan is in the field once again. He's also on the programme.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Well, it cost €1.08 million to run the Donegal Senior Gaelic Football Team in 2024. That, according to the end-of-year accounts presented to delegates at Wednesday night's county convention in Pettigo, was an increase of €140,000 on the team spend in 2023. But for that, Donegal won promotion and the Division 2 league title, the Ulster Senior Football title, and they reached the last four of the All-Ireland Championship. The Jim McGuinness effect was also evident off the field of play on Wednesday night. Commercial revenue of €636,000 came in 24, up from €507,000 the previous year. And fundraising in the county passed €500,000 this year. The county raised just €34,000 in fundraising in 2023. In a nutshell, Donegal have gone from a deficit of €140,000 last year to a surplus of almost €102,000 this year. And for the first time in any county in Ireland, the three main county board officer positions, chairperson, secretary and treasurer, are all held by women. That's after Ardra's Mary Kelly was elected as the new secretary alongside Treasurer Grace Boyle from Termon and Chairperson Mary Coughlin. The St. Noel's Club woman, who just completed her first year in the chair, says the county will be ready to deal with any potential revenue audit which might come their way in the coming months. She believes, incidentally, the risk review is going to extend to other sports. More on that in a moment, but first on the female prominence at the Donegal GAA top table.
It's a very significant one, and you know, the committees have entrusted us with the work that we have to do for the next year. And you know, oftentimes Donegal is seen as a conservative county, and it's far from it. And I'm delighted that we have so many women, and it gives the balance, which is absolutely of necessity in any organisation. And perhaps you're right that it's the first time that in a county the three main officers are women. So I hope we'll all get on very well, and we'll have a good year. And pay tribute to our secretary, who's stepping down, Declan Martin, and Sean Dunyan, who is also stepping down. They've been tremendous assets to the county and within the executive as well. So we have a number of new faces coming on board, so hopefully it'll augur well for Donegal in the next year.
This time last year, I remember you being one of the first people to arrive at convention in Letterkenny, where you were elected chairperson that night. Could you honestly have imagined the transformation on the pitch, off the pitch, in those 12 months to where you are tonight?
Well, from a financial point of view, we were told that it would take at least 2 years to get ourselves in some shape. And the work that was done by Grace, by the Finance Committee, by our Audit and Risk, by Eilish, and by our administrators has been just second to none, and we have been hell for leather trying to get things sorted. That has also been supported by our fundraising committee, and you'll see the huge amount of money that has been raised through 50-50 and lines and cardjugun and all, and it's all of absolute necessity, because unfortunately you need to raise money in order to have an organisation. And you're right, we did very, very well on the field. Our hurlers having great success in Croke Park. We had great success at Ulster level and moving on within the championship. So look, we've really, really done well, but a lot of it is down to an awful lot of hard work by a lot of people. And also the staff who work for us in Donegal, they've put in a huge amount of effort and a lot of work. And most importantly, we're all supported by the clubs, because without the clubs supporting you, you're going to get absolutely nothing done.
You mentioned revenues audit review of county boards. If and when it comes to Donegal's door, are you apprehensive about that?
No, Donegal has been through the mill now, as you know, over the last number of years, and there's new financial accounting procedures. We have new auditors, we have new methodologies. If it happens, we have to see clarity and a framework, and that's why we will be allowing Croke Park to represent us at a high level, because it's at a high level this is to happen. You can't go around after all of the county boards because they might do things differently or otherwise. There's been a lot of streamlining, for example, in HR matters and in employment, and if streamlining is needed now, then so be it. But we also have to be very cognizant of the fact that everybody who isn't paid is a volunteer, and it's the same for our clubs. So there'll have to be a framework. And as I said, it's not just the GAA. There are more than the GAA in this organisation. You have the LGFA, you have Camogie, you have soccer, you have basketball, you have cricket, all of these organisations. So if there's a framework agreed at the highest level, then everyone will work towards that. But if you're working in a vacuum, it's very difficult. So we'll await the discussions between PwC and the Revenue Commissioners on our behalf.
Mary Kelly, new County Secretary of Donegal GAA, congratulations. You mentioned in your acceptance speech you're not the first Ardra club person to hold this seat.
No, I'm the fourth, actually, and the first one was elected in 1920s, and that was Charles McDyer, and then we had two more then after that, and then Bart Whelan was the last one, and Bart served 10 years there up to the 90s. So look, at I'm privileged and honoured to be coming in as County Secretary. I did say that earlier on, and probably creating a bit of history now in joining with Mary in the chair and Grace as treasurer. So I think it's the first time they've had the three main officers women.
Well, this is it, three wise women leading Donegal GAA in 2025.
Well, I don't know about that, because it's probably, I came in this year, 24, as assistant secretary, and my role really was looking after the fixtures and making sure that the programme of fixtures went through the county. And that was a big step from coming from my club, because I did club secretary there for a long number of years. But now this is an even bigger step, going into the secretary's role, and I will have a lot on my plate now for the coming year.
Well, it's regarded as one of the most demanding roles in the modern Gaelic Games world, but obviously it's a role that invigorates you, that you enjoy.
I've always enjoyed the GAA from when I was a very young person, and I attended a convention, I think it was in Ballyshannon, way back in the late 80s, early 90s, trying to advocate for ladies football, which was starting up at the time, and trying to convince men that this was a new era of football. And that was my first introduction to that. But I got involved then in the club in different roles down the years, and I enjoyed it immensely. And then I finished up, I did the secretary's role then for 13 years. So,
one final question. You mentioned in your remarks that the biggest change you've noticed over the last number of years has been the rising profile of women on and off the pitch within the GAA. When did you start to notice that change yourself?
Probably in, you know, a lot of people tonight commended Noreen Doherty and the work and the contribution that she's given the GAA in Donegal. And Noreen was probably one of the first women, along with Nettie Gibson, probably from Termon, that I would have come across in my younger days. And probably in the last 15 years, more and more women now. There are, this year in Donegal, 25 club secretaries, and there's 18 treasurers, and there's quite a number of PROs, children's officers, all acting as women. And in my role this year, assistant secretary, in dealing with clubs, I would have dealt with the 25 women secretaries. And, you know, it's, while women are very much involved in administrative roles within their club, they are also involved in other roles within the club, and that is coaching and managing and playing with the ladies teams. And that's a huge thing in the past 20 years for clubs as well. And look at it, all augurs well. They bring a new dimension to clubs, women do. They are very good at selling tickets and all that type of thing, but it brings a whole new dimension, and a lot more women are involved, and they're enjoying being involved in the GAA as well.
Let's have a word with Sean Dunyan, outgoing Central Council Delegate for Donegal GAA. Does this mean you get your life back now?
Yeah, well, I've 2 months left to do, Austin. So I actually, even though I'm replaced here tonight, I don't step down until National Congress. So 2 months to go. But I'm looking forward to a bit of a break. I've done 10 of the last 12 years in the County Executive. So, yeah.
I'm wondering, is your parting gift to bring annual Congress to Donegal Town in the new year?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a parting gift, but it was something that when the applications were shot by Croke Park back in August, I thought to myself, you know, that'd be something. I don't believe it had a Congress here. I've heard that we had a Congress in Bundoor maybe in the 70s, but there's been no Congress in my living memory. So I thought to myself, that'd be something good if I could help to influence bring Congress to Donegal. We set about, we put a very strong application in, and a few visits from Croke Park to Donegal Town and to the Abbey and Central Hotels, and thankfully management in Croke Park approved it last Friday week.
And it's coming in February, which is something for all Donegal to look forward to, but particularly your home club for Masters Donegal Town.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge honour. It's going to be a huge honour for me to see Congress in Donegal Town, for my club. But I'm particularly happy for our long-term sponsor, the Abbey Hotel. They have been with us for so long and supported Donegal GAA during the good and during the bad. And I think it's a small, you know, return for them and recognition of the support they've given. So it'll be great for the town. It'll be great. There's about 400 delegates plus coming between press and whatnot. So it'll be a boost to the whole area.
I'd be interested to hear your impression of the last 12 months for Donegal GAA in terms of the transformation on and off the pitch. Someone with your administrative experience, can you believe where the county appears to have got to in one fast year?
I can believe it. There was a couple of catalysts, in my opinion, and not everybody might agree with me. But Croke Park coming in and doing that review, I think that set us on a solid footing. You know, there was things that needed to be improved upon, and then the outgoing chairman at the time, Fergus McGee, you know, him and the players and others then persuaded Jim McGuinness to come back. So, and then. Last convention, there was new faces come in. Mary coming in as chairperson, very strong, very experienced, and a lot of things just came together. But there was a team up there, and I think you saw the team there at the top table tonight, and with the support of the clubs, everybody worked together. And I suppose when you have success in the field, then you know it does gel everybody, and everybody's more positive and want to do their bit.
We can still have the intense rivalry in Donegal, whether that's in competition or, you know, geographical little contra Thomas. But if the county is rowing together in the same division when it comes to that inter-county level, it makes a difference.
It does make a difference. You do, because you can see from the accounts this evening what it takes to run Donegal GAA. It's a huge, huge amount of expenditure and income. You need everybody going the one direction. And look, I know it's the adult teams, the senior hurling, senior football that get all the plaudits, and they were the most successful this year. But when you take it down the whole way to our development squads at under 14 level and everything in between, and the academy, hurling, football, our clubs, our games, there's such activity. And it's only on a night tonight you can appreciate the amount of work that goes on, maybe to the ordinary supporter just coming to games, that's all they see. But there's so much else goes on. I don't know how many, I think there's 22 odd reports presented there tonight. So it's a massive organisation, and you do need everybody, and as far as possible, rowing the one way.
What's next for Sean Dunyan finally? Do you put your feet up now? Might Jarlett Burns try and entice you onto a couple of national committees? I'm sure Four Masters can come up with a job or two for you at Tyrconnell Park. Or do you have other ambitions within the GAA yourself?
I wouldn't say I have any ambitions. I never set out with any ambitions. I never had ambitions to be a county chairperson. That just came along at the right time for me. I took a couple of years out then and came back in a central council. I've really enjoyed the last 5 years. You know, I'm looking forward to Congress coming. That is going to be now my main focus for the next 2 months. I'm lucky enough, the Uachtaráin did appoint me as chairperson of the Medical, Scientific and Welfare Committee in Croke Park when he came into office in February. So I have another 2 years of that chairpersonship to run. So that's where my immediate focus is for the next 2 years, and we'll see after that.
Barry Gallagher, chairman of Pettigo GAA Club. Give me a sense of your own emotion and the club's pride in hosting convention this year.
We're very proud to have hosted it, and we feel very privileged that we were approached or given the opportunity to host it. We're very fortunate to have such a venue as the Terman Centre to be able to host such an event in. And as I say, just as a club, we're a small club, as with a big heart, as has been said, and we're proud to have a big event here this evening. Went very well.
And you have this oasis, the Terman Centre. Jim McGuinness could play an indoor football match here with his players.
He could indeed, and him and his players would be very welcome any time they would like to come along. So,
but for your own club members, there was a great sense of camaraderie here, from the stewards at the gate to the level of detail you went about organising this night.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Look, there's a bunch of fellas. There's good, not just fellas, a good bunch of people in the club at the minute, and there's a lot of work going on, and there is a good sense of camaraderie. And we're in a what we'd call a building process, and there's a nice group of people alongside that.
And just a word finally on Pettigo. It's an outpost club. You have your own challenges with population, etc. But it's a very passionate GAA part of the world.
Yes, we certainly, no different than any other club, we certainly do have our challenges. But we're very fortunate to have good people around us at the moment. And we're building at all levels. And thankfully, we're holding our own.
Barry Gallagher, who's chair of Pettigo GAA Club in Donegal. They were the hosts of Wednesday night's annual convention in the Termon Centre. Some of the other election catch lines: Sinead Breen was re-elected as County PRO. McCool's Darren Collins is the new fixture secretary. St. Noel's Kieran Kelly and Red Hugh's Andy Doherty are Ulster Council delegates once again. Edward Malloy will be the elected delegate to annual Congress in February and to Ulster Convention. Incidentally, former County Chairman Fergus McGee takes over from Sean Dunyan as the County Central Council delegate. As Sean mentioned, he's got a couple of more months to serve in the role, which will culminate with annual Congress coming to the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town on February the 21st and the 22nd. You'll hear lots more about that over the coming weeks and months on Ocean FM. Finally tonight, the PDC World Darts Championships begin this Sunday. Get ready for a festive season of darts, and Belcoo's Brendan Dolan will be the main local interest in what happens at the Ali Pally in London. Remember, he reached the quarterfinals of the championships last year before being knocked out by a teenage player you might have heard of, Luke Littler. As one of the seeded players again, Dolan gets a bye into round two this week. This will be his 17th World Darts Championship. And Brendan's been chatting this week to our reporter Sean McLaughlin about his own form line in 2024.
I didn't have a great end to the year, but I haven't been practicing all year. I was building a dart room and that, and I changed the dart room in the house to a bedroom in January again. So ended up, I wasn't practicing, but at the start of the year I was that busy it didn't really matter. But you know, I had an injury during the year, and after that there, it's definitely told not being able to practice, because it's just took me too long to, you know, get back to the way I was throwing. But this last you know, 3-4 weeks I've been practicing in my dart room, and I do find that I have a more solid, stronger throw now, and I'm not stopping halfway through for a bolt of pain. So, you know, it's all going good, and yeah, it's practice is good.
And how much practice are you putting into the tournament, for anyone that maybe not aware of how much practice goes into darts?
Well, the minimum I do is about 3 hours in a day, and up to about 6-7 hours on a really good day, like. But mostly, you could say on average, 5 to 6 hours a day I will be doing. You know, and I've had local lads coming to practice with me at night, and I've had Shane McGurk from Monaghan coming to practice with me, and it has done him no harm. He's just won the WDF World Championship, so that's brilliant.
So he's rubbing off on you. He's rubbing off on your experience, definitely.
Well, he's probably getting a bit of experience off me, but hopefully I get his dart playing off him.
So obviously your second round opponent, speaking of the WDF, former Lakeside runner-up, it'll be either Chris Landman or Lockyer Lee. Will you be watching that game to see what you'll be up against in your opening match?
No, because I'll be travelling that day. I think they're on in the afternoon. I think I'll be heading to Dublin Airport whenever they're playing. Yeah. So I'm not actually watching. You know, whatever they do in the first round doesn't mean they're going to do it in the second round. You know, I know Chris from the tour, obviously, but I don't know Locke in Lee. So I don't know. You know, it could be a surprise package around, but I have to focus on myself and how I'm playing and what I do. And I believe if I play to my full potential, it will not matter what either of the two players do.
And that, obviously, that brings me on to my next question. Do you set a goal for each tournament? Obviously, you had a great run last year getting to the quarterfinals. Do you set a goal for this year's tournament, or do you just take each game as it comes?
Well, you know, coming in with a, you know, such probably a poor record, you can't look past the first round. And, you know, all my practices going to being ready for the first round. I kind of have an idea. It's not going to be an easy route to get as far as I did last year. I think I have more big names, but if I'm playing well, I can beat them. The same as last year, I can turn them over. But the thing is for me to focus on the first round and, get the best performance out of myself. And, that should lead to a victory.
And is it pivotal, like, with the way the tournament is formatted, is it important to get over that first game just to get it over the line and then take a bit of a mental break before Christmas?
Oh, it is. Like, I'd have to say now, I'll probably have a terrible Christmas if I don't win.
Yeah.
It'll be miserable. And I don't want to make the family around me feel miserable because I'm just going with a sulky face on it. But, it's obviously the Irish is not to be all then, all, but it is so important, for your ranking. If you want to try and move up in the rankings, which I want to do, like I want to get back into the top 16. So I do believe another big push this year will help me towards that goal. And, the World Championship is the biggest ranking event of the year, so it carries the biggest points. So it is very, very important to get over the first round.
Absolutely. And I was just researching researching yesterday. I was thinking, Brendan Dolan, he's been in a lot of World Championships. This is your 17th World Championship in a row coming up now. What do you put your longevity right down to?
Stubbornness. No, the love of the game. I do love the game. I have to admit, I love playing. And I suppose in the early years, I didn't know how long it would last. And I suppose I was enjoying just mixing it with the best players in the world and probably a wee bit in awe of them, So it's just come in the latter years realizing I'm always there. So, I have a right to be there. And I should be pushing, working harder to maybe get a better results for myself. And, I didn't realize it was 17 on the trot, but that is quite a long time to, it's not given to you to be in the World Championship. You have to qualify or on some form of ranking or through the qualifiers, and I think I have done it every year through the ranking bar one, which I went to a qualifier and the one I got through in it. So other than that there, I've had it reasonably good to qualify for the Worlds, so long may it continue.
Absolutely. And in that time you've been on the Pro Tour, what has changed, do you think, in those 16 years?
Everybody around me has got younger. I've got older.
You're the veteran now.
I'm getting to that stage where, I'm getting close to being one of the oldest in the room. So, I think the standard has changed as well. Like, there's young lads coming into the game and there's no mental scars on them. They're coming in young, vibrant, full of enthusiasm for the game. The standard that they're bringing now, because they're playing it from such a young age and they're playing competitions at an early age, whereas back in my day it was very hard to get a youth tournament or anything like that. You probably played maybe twice a year in youth tournaments, It wasn't enough, to help develop the game. But nowadays there's so many people investing in the youth and trying to develop the game. Even the INDO and the NIDO, and they're working at youth level, and you have the GADC and the development tours and the PDC now is giving them players a lot of experience before they actually get onto the tour, which makes them very, tough to beat. They have experience before they've experienced the big time,
Absolutely. There's so many pathways for young players, and it's really becoming more accessible to play darts. Absolutely. And one last question, Brendan. Can we expect the famous finger twirl at this year's World Championships?
Without a doubt. If I don't get it, there'll be something badly wrong. But yes, it definitely will be on show.
Brendan Dolan from Belcoo in conversation with Sean McLaughlin ahead of the PDC World Darts Championships, which begin this Sunday with the opening set of round one matches. As one of the seeded players, Dolan gets a bye into round two, so his opening game won't be until Saturday week, the 21st of December. We'll keep you posted on his progress. A reminder, finally, that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week. Same time, same place.